everyone, and welcome to the Barbell Mamas podcast. My name is Christina Previtt. I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist, researcher in exercise and pregnancy, and a mom of two who has competed in CrossFit, powerlifting, or weightlifting, pregnant, postpartum, or both. In this podcast, we want to talk about the realities of being a mom who loves to exercise. Whether you're a recreational exerciser or an athlete, we want to talk about all of the things that we go through as females going into this motherhood journey. We're going to talk about fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum topics that are relevant to the active individual. While I am a pelvic floor physical therapist, I am not your pelvic floor physical therapist, and know that this podcast does not substitute medical advice. All right, come along for this journey with us while we navigate motherhood together, and I can't wait to get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Barbell Mamas podcast. Christina Previtt here, and this is another version of hotel podcast episodes. We just had an incredible course that I was teaching in Greenville, South Carolina, and it was just such a great time. Like, you know, when you just have a room full of individuals who just love talking about pregnancy and postpartum and pelvic health, you finish the course and you feel so jazzed and motivated and just ready to tackle a lot of things that you were seeing in the clinic. And then also like kind of our own pregnancy or postpartum journey. So it was just so fun. And it just kind of makes me feel very fortunate for a lot of the stuff that we get to do. And it also makes me think about all the stuff that we get to do with the Barbell Mamas and how, you know, giving permission around exercise and like the goals behind this podcast is just so front of mind in everything that I do in my clinical care, talking to clinicians and then talking to mamas themselves. It's just pretty epic. But I promise I went into my feels last week. That is not the goal for today's podcast, though. I think I'm always a little bit in the feels about everything around the motherhood space and talking about pelvic floor dysfunction. But we're going to talk a little bit about managing setbacks and expectations for return to exercise in the postpartum period. So this is not just for individuals who want to go back to strength training. This is for individuals who want to go back to CrossFit or want to go back to Burn Boot Camp or F45 or any type of exercise. And they're making this comparison to either other people on the internet or what their own goals were in the postpartum period or what your fitness was like before baby. And when you are pregnant, especially if you're somebody who really likes exercise, it can be really tough to feel like you're modifying all the time. And if you were anything like me, both times during my pregnancy, by the time I got to my third trimester, I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot wait to be in the postpartum period. Obviously, I want my baby in my arms and I am so fortunate that baby is in my belly, but to get back to being less conscientious of exercise and focusing on building up my fitness again versus kind of trying to maintain as much as possible or potentially, you know, modifying away from what I'm used to usually doing. And so when we get individuals back in the postpartum space where they start getting back into exercise, a lot of the questions are around, you know, how fast can I get back to these movements? When do you think I'm going to be touching weights that I was looking or using in my pre-pregnancy body? Am I ever going to get back to where I was at from a fitness perspective? Or so-and-so on Instagram, I saw them doing this versus me who is not doing this and what the heck, and am I doing something wrong? Like there's so many questions that come into this postpartum space. And so I kind of want to set up some expectations and then talk about our pelvic floor rehab journey, anybody's pelvic floor rehab journey when they are recovering from having a baby. And this is our abs too. So we're going to say just our entire body postpartum recovery. So there is a big shift in postpartum return to exercise that we are seeing, right? And there is a question right now of, you know, is there a time where it is too soon to go back to heavier weights or higher amounts of running or impact related exercise? I was just following a games athlete who was 8 days postpartum, and she was doing a jerk at like 240 pounds with a belt on. And I was like, oh, dang, like that is pushing the envelope of postpartum recovery. And what does this look like? And as I was watching her, and I was kind of thinking about, what we know about this space and what my thoughts and feelings were. And they really don't matter because I'm not working with her, and I'm just kind of an outside observer, and it's not my decision. But I could just imagine that there's a lot of individuals who are in their postpartum window who are seeing some of these athletes who are going back to really heavy weights, and they're doing a lot of these, seeing a lot of these athletes on social media, and the comparison can be tough. Like, I can't imagine squatting heavy weights because my pelvis felt really bad in that postpartum period. Or I can't believe this mama is running a marathon because when I was 5 months postpartum, I didn't know what weight was up. And so, kind of setting these expectations, the first thing that I really want to make sure that we are mindful of is this comparison game that we can get into. And know that everybody's journey is their own. Everybody's goals and expectations are their own. We were not in that person's pregnancy or in their birth journey, and I was not in yours, right? Like, I don't know if you had no tearing at all and I had a big tear, or your genetics, you had a tougher time with core recovery than I did, or you had a shorter torso, so baby was going out far, so you felt really weak in your core, or you had hyperemesis gravidarum and you didn't get the chance to be in the gym as much as you wanted to. So you're coming from a bit of a weaker spot than you thought you were going to when you're starting your postpartum journey. And social media is a highlight reel. Our professional athletes, this is a big part of their identity, their time, and potentially their income that they are spending coming back to exercise in the postpartum space, right? So comparison can be the thief of joy. And you making the decision to go slower than some of these other athletes, or there are other parts of your journey that are making it so that you are taking a little bit of a slower path, that is 100% okay. And this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. And it is about not only getting back to exercise that we enjoy in the postpartum period, but making us feel good about our lifelong exercise, right? We really want to be mindful of that. I always think about when I'm thinking about this comparison game, and this is something that just makes me upset as a person with a who is a parent, that there are individuals who are personal trainers and they work in a gym and they do not have significant barriers to exercise, who create this stuff on social media like, we all have 24 hours in a day. I was like, that is incorrect, sir. Like, that is incorrect. And if you are a parent, right, or you are somebody who is trying to conceive, or you are pregnant right now and you have a crazy job and you're working 80-hour weeks, I am getting on airplanes 25 weekends out of the year, and it can be really challenging. I am so lucky that I work for a company that prioritizes movement and fitness, and it is in our courses, because otherwise, it takes me 10 or 12 hours to travel from Canada to areas of the United States. Like, that is a very unique consideration. That is not, we have the same 24 hours in a day, because there are situations and circumstances that make that different. And the amount of time that individuals have when they don't have kids versus they do is different. And so when I'm making a comparison for someone in fitness, the first thing is that I'm going to try and find individuals in the same situation as me. And I even noticed that the difference between having one versus two kiddos, right? Like, it went going from I had my husband and I being able to trade off with my daughter versus we were man on man defense. Like, that was a different life phase for me. And exercise looked different going postpartum with my first versus my second. So when we're thinking about our comparison journeys, know that we are only seeing the good for all of individuals on social media oftentimes. And even when people are being honest online, you're only getting a like honest or genuine, or they're talking about some of their challenges. oftentimes still too, you're only getting a snapshot into that person's life. And so if you are having a hard time with that comparison game, mute those people for the time being. And then the second piece is when you are going through different life phases, even your kid's age is going to be different, right? Like in the newborn phase, it is really hard because you're trying to really adjust to this new role for you, whether you're a mom for the first time or a mom again. That is a big world change, but baby sleeps a lot longer. So sometimes, as long as you're not nap trapped, you maybe do have a little bit more time for exercise, but that becomes a whole different beast when you're now back at work. You are trying to have a full-time job. You already feel bad that you're moving away or being away from baby for that long. Maybe you don't have a gym that allows your baby to come. And then you are trying to carve away time for exercise, or you are having a baby now that's more mobile. Like, you know, keeping a baby in a car seat at first is great. And then eventually there's a new set of challenges or things to work around, right? And so your situation is not always going to be the same as another person's situation. So it's very hard for us to compare those two things. And then the last comparison that I want to be mindful of as we're talking about setting expectations and managing setbacks is your comparison with your own journey, right? Like it can be motivating to have this goal of getting back to weights or exercises or running paces or things like that that you were touching pre-pregnancy. And it is absolutely possible. But we want to celebrate our little successes in our postpartum exercise journey instead of saying, well, I'm still so far from where I had to be. Example, I was treating a guy, he was 1 year post-op. I know this isn't pelvic, but it puts my point into focus is he was 1 year post-op of a bicep repair and a labral repair. And he came to me because he just felt like he just don't have the strength that he needed in his shoulder. Like he had the range of motion, but he feels like he's still so much worse than before he went for the surgery. And so we started hammering strength and we started doing a lot of work and I started really loading him because that's what I do. And he got his first pull-up at 1 year post-surgery. And I was celebrating that win. I was like, heck yeah. Like that shit is over the bar. Like you should feel really excited about that. And he goes, I used to be able to do 14. And I was like, whoa, sir, like, let's have a conversation about celebrating our wins. But we see that all the time, sometimes in our own postpartum recovery. And so the filter that I always use is would I ever talk as negatively to my friends about their postpartum journey as I am talking to myself, right? Would I be okay with the talk that I am having in my own mind about my own journey, my own expectations, if it was my best friend who was having the same situation that I am, and that was the advice that I was giving her? And when we are in this negative window, like we are in this negative self-talk comparison window, we would never be saying that to our friends because we love them and we are like, we are not in their body. And so we are trying to, you know, give them that zoomed out approach, like that zoomed out advice. And sometimes we need to do the same thing for ourselves, right? So kind of go through that filter. Is the self-talker, is the expectations that I am setting on myself expectations that I would set on a friend, or would it be the advice that I would be giving to a friend of mine who is going through a similar situation? Okay. So we're going to go with the comparisons, but we're going to let them go aside. So, but setting expectations, what can we think about our progression with respect to exercise? And so the cross-sectional survey that I published with my colleagues in 2023, we actually asked about returning to specifically some resistance training types of training. And this is always really helpful for me to give people a general idea of when they're going to be touching different loads, different types of breathing, different bracing strategies, et cetera, knowing that some people are going to be faster, some people are going to be slower. And so we're going to kind of be able to shift and move within those expectations, but having some averages can sometimes be helpful. So when it comes to strength training, right, we saw that individuals started to Valsalva or hold their breath while bracing between 4.5 and 5 months postpartum. And they got back to using a weightlifting belt around 6 months postpartum. And we usually see that individuals with purposeful exercise can start touching on weights that, like, kind of top end weights that they were seeing pre-pregnancy in that 8 to 12 month window, right? So kind of that advice of, like, it takes 9 months to cook a baby. It takes, you know, 9 months to recover from one, or the beginnings to recover from one, can be really helpful. But some people hear that 9 month in, 9 month out advice, and they think that they're not going to feel improvements until 9 months postpartum. That is not true. You're going to feel gradually better over time. In that early postpartum period, you're going to have this, like, almost a fairly quick return to feeling okay in activities of daily living, like your day-to-day parenting, house cleaning tasks. But you're going to probably feel that you don't feel as strong as you did before. And then the progress is going to be a bit slower outside of, you know, your scar is healed if you had a C-section, or your perineum or around your vaginal hole is feeling better after a vaginal delivery. And then it'll be a little bit more incremental, like how you start to feel and your strength returning and all those types of things. So those are some general expectations for some of our resistance training. We don't have some of that same data in the running space. But we are starting to see that some of that information is being gathered and information, and people are starting to look at it. So hopefully we'll have some of that to be looking at with longitudinal data for running and things like that pretty soon. So we have this comparison game that we are not going to engage in, and we have these expectations. What can we think about with respect to our progression? And how are we going to handle setbacks? What are some of the things that are going to come into play with setbacks? So the first thing is that while we have these expectations, postpartum return to exercise is never linear. It is all about taking averages and seeing incremental improvements over those averages. Let me explain. So if we are doing standard linear progression when we are doing a strength training program, it is that we do 3x5 at 50 pounds, then we go 55 pounds, then we go 60 pounds, then we go 65 pounds, et cetera. And we keep going and adding weight until we can't, right? That's a standard kind of very beginner strength training program. It's also one actually that I love to use for individuals who are postpartum, starting with an empty bar and adding 5 to 10 pounds every time they squat or every time they deadlift in that postpartum period. However, we are going to see that linear progression with recovery. If there was nothing else going on in your life, we would probably see a pretty good response in a linear periodization. Except that's not real life, right? Like, that is not real life. We have to think about the fact that you are interacting as a human who has other things that they are demanding of their body outside of their exercise, right? So we may go into a session, right? We may go into the gym on a Monday and your baby slept like absolute trash the night before. That is not inside our control, right? We have some sleep training and things that you can do, like, to try and help mitigate. But if you were like me, my kid didn't sleep through the night until a year after they were born, both of them. And that meant that some days they gave me a stretch of sleep that made me feel like a human, and some days they didn't. So when they didn't, I knew that the weights that I was using in the gym were going to feel heavier, right? Just like if you've ever gone out and drank too much at night, like when you go into the gym, like, things are going to feel worse, you know, like that's just the way that things shake out. And so all of those recovery variables are going to be one of those things that could potentially lead to setbacks in our progress. And I'm not saying this as a bad thing, but it's just a life thing. You know, if you are a person who is trying to exercise consistently, and then you're going back to work, and you're trying to manage this new thing called motherhood or motherhood again. If you are in a high stress, low fuel, your baby's not sleeping, you've just gotten over a GI bug, your toddler brought back something else from daycare right now, everybody is sick. Like, there is only so much that our body can recover from. And if all of these other life variables are taking up a lot of that recovery potential, then it means that we're going to recover less from exercise. And that is when potentially setbacks can happen. And so what would a setback be? So a setback could be that you're on a really good, you know, consistent schedule where you're getting into the gym 4 or 5 times. And then all of a sudden you have a couple of weeks that are only 1 or 2 days. We can see that as like a exercise habit setback. From a postpartum pelvic perspective or ab perspective, we could feel like I wasn't having any leaking with squats. And now I'm feeling like I'm peeing with squats. And that can be where our setbacks are. So how do we manage these setbacks? So the first thing is why I put so much time into talking about everybody having their own timeline and trying to avoid this comparison game and setting these expectations is to, first of all, give us some grace, right? When we are thinking in the postpartum period, we have to think about the long game just as much as we're thinking about the short game, right? Having a couple of weeks that we step away from exercise in the long-term, you know, situation that is our life is not going to drastically change any of our outcomes, right? So kind of trying to give ourselves a little bit of grace, realizing that there's a lot that has changed in our life. Life is hard. Life as a parent is hard. And it is okay for us to recognize where our limits are and when sometimes we just don't have any more time in a day. That's okay, right? So the first thing is that we need to kind of allow ourselves, like talk ourselves off a ledge. And this is somebody who does not do this well all the time, right? I am not in a phase, I've said this on the podcast, where I am doing the competitive training that I love and that I am used to. But it is just not my phase of life right now. So I have talked myself off a ledge to various amounts of success a lot of times, right? And we're going to manage those expectations. So having that and then trying to kind of get ourselves back on track or change some variables to hopefully either rejig our expectations or have an opportunity to get back into our habits is helpful. When we are thinking about a setback from a pelvic floor perspective or from an ab wall perspective, there are a couple of things that I would talk about with my client. So if you are coming to see me and you have a flare up and symptoms, the first thing I'm going to ask about is all those other recovery variables. You know, like, was the reason because, like, you know, you hadn't slept very well, or, you know, you were struggling with constipation and that was putting a bit more pressure on your pelvic floor. Did you increase your volume? When was the last time you had a deload? Are you eating enough? Are we getting enough stress response recovery? Like, are we working on stress management techniques? And know that all those things can create blips on the radar, even in those situations where we are still getting better. One bad day or one bad workout in the span of life is not a huge deal. If you are experiencing an uptick in symptoms, you did not cause a prolapse. You did not make a diastasis recti worse. We just hit a symptom threshold that moved a little bit on us. Our symptom thresholds where we're starting to feel leaking or heaviness or have coning with different activities is a movable target based on a lot of different situations, only one of which is how recovered our pelvic floor is. And it is us in the context of all those factors that is important. So one, I'm going to ask about, you know, are there other things in the background of your exercise routine that were not how you are usually that could be a reason why your threshold for when you started to feel symptoms, if you were peeing at, you know, 30 double unders and now it was 20, that may have accounted for that. That's going to be number one. And that could include just not recovering well from your exercise before, right? Like if you did a big running box jump workout on Tuesday, and then you have a double under workout on Wednesday, your pelvic floor is still recovering. It's like doing a really heavy squat day on Tuesday and then doing heavy squat cleans on Wednesday. If your legs feel like trash going into that workout, you're not going to feel strong on your clean because you let out a lot of that strain and you're still recovering from that squat workout the day before, right? Like the same is true for our pelvic floor. And if I go out and I'm up till 3 o'clock and then I'm doing a 6 a.m. workout and I only get 2 or 3 hours of sleep, I'm not going to feel strong on a squat workout either. And that may change if I'm dealing with a cranky hip injury, I'm not very well recovered, my hip pain may be higher, right? So that is the reason why we can't always expect this linear trajectory of getting better. And also cannot beat ourselves up if one day it feels worse than it did the day before, because there's so many other influences. Then I will make sure that I ease your mind, right? Like that you are not ruining anything if your body is more sensitive before you're experiencing symptoms. That is okay. It is giving us information, it is giving us data, and we are looking at long-term trends, right? So if you are consistently having a lower threshold that you were doing well and you were doing 40s and 45 double under reps before you were starting to pee, and now it's 20 and it stayed 20 as the next three or four, then maybe we have to play around with something. Maybe there's something else going on that we're going to want to tackle to help you with your recovery. But we are not thinking, oh, I permanently prolapsed, or I had all these issues. Like, that is not the conversation. It's maybe there's a variable that we haven't taken into account yet. That's the reason why. An example for me, I was doing really well with getting back to double unders with Quinn, with my son. When I started getting stronger in my brace for my lifting, because I was getting much better at that co-contraction, I had to figure out how to relax that co-contraction on my double unders, because my brace was getting stronger with lifting, but a stronger brace for the double unders would make me have to pee faster. And so, you're always trying to figure out some of these variables. And part of my job as your pelvic PT is to help you brainstorm as to where those things are coming from. And then when it comes to like our timelines, know that these temporary setbacks are part of the rehab process, right? I ease the fear that you didn't cause any irreparable damage. And then I also say that a postpartum recovery without any setbacks is a unicorn, right? And there are maybe some unicorns that are around us that have had this linear progress, and they've never had a time where they've had to step away, or kids have gotten sick, or they've gotten away from the gym. And that's great for them, but that is not the norm, right? We are going to experience blips on the radar and setbacks in our recovery, and that's just part of the game of getting back. Or, even for any injury, or if you are not a person who has had kiddos yet, but you've experienced pelvic floor dysfunction yourself, like all of those things are there. And finding for you ways to get out of pain yourself, or ways to manage your pelvic floor issues on your own, are two very powerful ways for you to manage setbacks, right? So again, let's kind of compare this to if you had a shoulder injury. So if you had a shoulder injury, you went to go get PT, they gave you a bunch of exercises, you worked through some of your rehab, and then all of a sudden you felt really good. You're probably not doing all those PT exercises all the time. I wouldn't as a PT. I wouldn't be doing those forever, right? I did them when I needed them. I gained that strength and movement that I needed in my shoulder, and then I got back to all my pull-ups and my muscle-ups, et cetera, right? If I step away from exercise and then all of a sudden go in and do Murph, and now I get a re-flare or a setback, as you I may say, in my shoulder, then I'm going to lean back on some of the stuff that my PT gave me before and start working on some of those exercises or things that I know are going to get me out of pain again. Setbacks become so much less devastating when we know what to do if symptoms get higher, right? So that we know that we're not going to freak out, that symptoms will oftentimes resolve, right? I always talk to you that you could just have DOMS of your pelvic floor, right? 24 to 48 hours, just like your quads, and you're going to feel better. But know that when things feel worse, this is what I do is a really powerful way for our mind to not spiral. So those are kind of the ways that I work with individuals to handle setbacks in their postpartum recovery. And so I hope that you found this kind of framework that I manage these conversations with, starting with that comparison game and figuring out where you're at, And then figuring out what our expectations are for postpartum recovery for most people, right? Knowing that we're going to see some people on social media that are pushing it. And then know that setbacks are a part of postpartum recovery. Like it's something that as a clinician, I expect that there's going to be some flare-ups or changes at some point in our postpartum recovery, because that is real life. And what we're going to do is we are going to think about some of the variables that may have contributed to it. We're going to make sure for me that I am easing your fear and your anxiety that you are making something permanently changed or damaged. That is not what's happening. It's that you are a bit more sensitive right now and we're trying to figure out what has caused it. And then having those management strategies, knowing that things are going to get better, but when things are worse or things are more peaked in terms of my symptom load, these are the things that I know to do to make me feel better. And then it will get better. All right. I hope you all found that helpful. If you guys have any other thoughts, questions, comments, please let me know. Otherwise, I hope you all had a wonderful week and we will see you all next time.